Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live, and we've got to look at looking over in Job 7:1. It says that human life is a struggle. It's a life sentence to hard labor. Are you going through some tough times and some hard labor? Well, we want to talk to you about those, and we've got John Townsend back from the Ukraine, and we're going to talk to him. Glad you've joined us today.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We've brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I have a weight problem, and I've been struggling all my life with it.
Congratulations on evading the question that I asked you. But
sorry.
I'm not letting you get away with it.
Divorced twice, thousands of dollars in back child support due.
No.
And an estranged relationship with his 20-year-old son.
You'd better have a big list on the positive side there.
Really?
Like cute, nice
really?
Hair, good teeth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here, stuttering my way through radio today with Dr. John Townsend and your phone calls.
Steve,
and,
hey, your stutter is better than anybody else's non-stutter.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate that. Well, John, tell us about the Ukraine. How was it over there? You took the whole family.
Took my wife and two sons and two other sons. So we ended up with four junior high boys, but it was a big team. Like 40 of us came from our church, Mariners Church in Irvine, yeah. California, and it was headed by a pastor there. And it's a pretty awesome experience. Now, I think the thing that I liked the most was watching the junior hires kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big world out there and all that we can do. And the church has a very good relationship. The church in Kiev has a very good relationship with the community. So the boys were able to go to the secular open schools and talk about their own faith journey, how they became Christians right in the classrooms, play soccer with homeless kids and go to orphanages. So it was really cool to watch them interact and also to see how many email addresses they got of the Ukrainian teenage girls there.
Could be some intra-country relationships.
Yeah, you know, brewing. Steve, sometimes your higher motives and your lower motives go the same direction.
Right.
So we were happy about that.
Well, John, tell me what your role was. What did you do most of the time? Did you speak ever?
Yeah, I spoke at a marriage conference, spoke at a singles conference, did some work at various places, just kind of like whenever they wanted me to plug in, speak, and preach to the church, the main church there, that kind of a thing.
What's the biggest struggle over there? Is it for food or is it for...
It's kind of a life thing.
Mm-hmm.
Their economy's kind of in bad shape. So they have to do a lot on very little. I think the average salary is around $300 a month, which is, even in that economy, is very low.
Mm.
So what the church does is it tries to do everything it can in terms of not only spiritual needs, but social needs, emotional needs. They see themselves as being given to that country. So they do a fantastic job. Pray for a New Life Church and the country of Ukraine. There's a lot of good spiritual stuff going on, but life is not easy there.
Well, you know, you hear this expression, my worst day is better than their best day.
Yeah.
And I assume that that's kind of the way it is for us here in America, that even at our worst, it's better than some of the days that they have at their best. And so we should pray for them. And is the church growing and building?
It is growing. It is building. They use everything that they get in terms of resources from the states. They do as much as they can. They've got a lot of really dedicated people there. That, you know how we talk on the program about family, about spiritual relations being a community, being family. They're a family. We went to one of their home Bible studies. They're really into small groups, into confession and ownership, into supporting each other. They really believe that they belong to each other. So you see the attachments are very, very deep.
That's neat. Well, you know, a lot of times when we don't have material things, all we've got is us. And sometimes we
hang
on
something
and develop richer relationships when the money goes away or it was never there. Today we've got 10 keys to a healthy step family. Kind of sounds like an oxymoron to some of you who are living through the step family experience. But there can be a healthy one. And we have 7 keys to a healthy blended family by Jim Smoke. You can get that as our resource. And for those that support the ministry, Every Man's Challenge, when we come back, I want to read you a letter about the impact the ministry is having on someone. We'll be back.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and your phone calls. Okay, so I spoke in Allentown, Pennsylvania this weekend and got this email today. I didn't get an opportunity to thank you, so I would like to do so now. It was God's intervention when I tuned into your radio program 2 years ago. As I was struggling with various life situations. Because of your show, I have grown in so many ways. I no longer look at women as objects. I have learned that Christianity can be a practical way of life for me. And I owe all this and more to you and the boys. I also felt led to become a New Life Club member shortly after tuning into the show. Thanks again, and my prayers are with you, Dave. And you know, I just think sometimes we take for granted what's happening. But it is amazing when someone says, I owe it all to your show. And I'm just saying that not to make us look good, but I want people that support this ministry to know that you're making a difference in people's lives, that they're tuning in. They may have not known that Christianity was a practical way of life that works for today.
You know, that's really funny you said that, Steve, because there are so many discussions out, good ones in the churches now, about why are the rules there?
Yeah.
All these religious, quote-unquote, things. They're there for reality reasons. Responsibility and ownership and truthfulness and love and support, these things work, and that's why they're religious.
Well, I hope that others that are listening will support us and take this message to other people. It's really important, and we just are thrilled that we get to do this every day. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Brock. He's calling from Cincinnati, Ohio, WAKW. Hey, Brock, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing okay.
Good. Just like to thank you guys for taking my call.
You're welcome. You sound like you're feeling kind of low today.
Yeah, sure I am.
Okay, what's going on?
Seems like, just to give you a little bit of background in my life, I was raised a preacher kid.
Okay.
And around my senior year or so, just kind of rebelled and turned away and started living wild and, you know, just doing crazy things or whatever. Pretty much wasted 10 years of my life. You know, the Lord was good. He picked me up out of all that stuff, turned my life around, had an opportunity to go to a drug rehab for 6 months, turned my life around, and I can honestly say that I've really experienced what true repentance is when you truly repent to the Lord.
Well, that's great.
It can turn your life around.
Uh-huh.
But since then, it's been about 13 years, and it just seems like the way my life goes, I don't know, it seems like I'm always doing something to ruin all the many blessings that the Lord's given me.
So what's happened in your life?
Destructive lifestyle. Well, I mean, I don't even know if I should say this or not. Because I don't want to embarrass my family. I don't know. I just feel like I've let my wife down and my kids down. I got two great boys.
How'd you do that, Brock?
And just being unfaithful.
Mm.
unfaithful to them, unfaithful to the Lord. I feel like
is there any way that you can be specific at all about these struggles? It's kind of hard to help you when we don't know what the problems are.
Well, you know, that's what I struggle with. I don't, you know, it's like I'm never satisfied in, you know, inside, and I don't know why. I mean, the Lord has blessed
that's,
me.
That's not specific. Brock, that's not specific. Can you talk about a specific problem?
Just the desire to, just to fulfill something in my life. I feel like I'm not being fulfilled.
All right, well, what's your question then?
I don't know.
What's the question for us today then?
Well, you know, I've been counseled in the past. You know, there's been times where I've haven't been faithful to my wife, and I've been counseled in the past that I really don't need to tell her about those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm wondering if I do or not, because I don't really want to hold a secret, though, either, you know.
Is that your question?
Yeah, and I don't even know if I don't even know the real consequences of how this is going to affect
Is the affair still going on?
No.
Okay, so it's something in the past.
It was just a one-night thing.
Well, we never say just, Brock. We never say just. We just say it was, because otherwise that minimizes the damage.
Well, we say just, but we shouldn't say just, because it's...
there you go.
Yeah, we say it all the time.
So if it's something in the past, let me just kind of give you the rundown on how to approach whether you should tell her or not. Ultimately, we believe that the best relationships are those that have the most light. As Ephesians tells us, we're supposed to live as children of the light. So in a good relationship, you should know, ideally, as much as possible about the other person, even the negative things, because then you know more and are aligned more with that person. However, lots of relationships would struggle or be damaged or sometimes end because of that kind of information. So you get with some wise people and you figure out how much can this marriage handle. Is it a very thriving marriage? Is it one that's got lots of flexibility and adaptability and love and support and strength? Or is it one that's kind of on crutches now and it maybe doesn't need that information yet, and that's how you make that decision. And what I would also look at, Brock, is I would look at going underneath whatever caused you to have, as you're describing, an unfulfillment and a not being satisfied where you are. There is some inability to be content, and I would begin doing some research on why it is there's a difficulty in being happy with what you have, as Paul says, and looking outside of that and begin to deal that issue.
Okay.
We'll send him a copy of Change of the Hill.
Yeah, let's do that. Brock, I feel for you, buddy, and I know that, I mean, it sounds like you're really struggling to pull things together and you don't want to mess things up, so go gently.
Well, it seems like it's just like a thing, and that's all yep. through my life it's been like that. You know, it's like the Lord blesses me, and I just seem to screw it all up. Like, I'm not happy unless I'm screwing it up or something, or I don't deserve it.
Right.
The things that He gives me.
Well, that's why we got to do the really tough work in counseling sometimes, or we got to work a 12-step program, really work and work it deep, so that we correct some of those self-sabotaging things. It's not just waking up the next morning and saying, well, I'm going to do better now, because that just isn't enough.
It is not uncommon for men in your situation to have an aggressive part of them that they don't like to look at and feel afraid of, and so it comes out in backwards ways. And when they learn to be more honest and forthright about their dark side and to be more truthful and forthcoming about that, many times that problem resolves.
Okay. I'll send you Changes That Heal, and they really do heal. I mean, there are a lot of them in there that Henry talks about that heal. And we'll send that to you. And anybody else interested in that, go buy it in a store. No, we have it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can get it there, or at newlife.com. There's a resource. It's kind of neat library there. And if you just plug in the subject you want, it'll take you to the books that will address that issue. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need that. 1-800-229-3000 to join us, as Jackie has joined us from Long Beach, California. She listens to KKLA. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking this call. I have tried forever, and I'm very happy you have taken it. I've learned a lot through listening with your program, but I do have some major concerns in my own life that I'd be interested in hearing your feedback.
Okay.
I'm an American. 10 years, we have 2 little girls, 9 and 7, and my husband has had difficulty finding his own self-identity from that time even to now. And he has sabotaged a lot of situations in our lives, made very self-destructive decisions on his part. Both Christians, he proclaims to be. However, at this point, he's driven now to, we just purchased a house. He somehow tricked me into signing a quit deed. And this was after I overheard a personal phone call to a sister in his home state that he would admit something, but it would cause him to confess, so he's not going to get into that. However, he has a plan.
Whoa. Jackie, I just missed that whole last thing about this phone call. A sister, meaning he has a sister in another state.
Right. He took the phone outside into the backyard. I sort of eavesdropped from my children's bedroom.
Probably not sort of eavesdropped. Probably eavesdropped.
I was interested. He disappeared with the phone, and that brought my curiosity as to why he, whatever he.
And what did he say?
Conversing. He mentioned something in the phone to her that he would confess something, or he would admit something to her, but it would cause him to confess, and he didn't want to get into that. However, he had a plan. And that's all he said, that's all I can say, I have a plan.
Okay, and so did you talk to him about that?
I did. I asked, and he evades it. He won't answer that at all. He won't say anything.
And you said something about how this somehow relates to quit claiming a house?
Well, I think it has to do with a lot of things that are coming together right now. We are married, we're a family. Went into buying a house. He makes a lot of decisions and made major decisions without even informing me. He went through all the process of getting a house, took the proceeds from the home we sold, has taken that out of the joint account, put that into an account under his name himself, keeping every penny from me, and somehow had devised my having to have to sign a quit deed on the new property.
Jackie, it sounds like your husband's involved in something that you don't understand or know about. You went to him, you asked him about it, and he's just not going to tell you anything about it, indicating pretty crummy relationship you got going there. Now, what's your question for us?
Well, my question is, there are other behaviors of his that I am starting to feel that my life is in danger, merely because he's creating a very volatile environment. It's feeding off nothing.
Can you be specific about the behaviors?
Yeah. I truly believe he's bipolar, and it's because he goes into rage tantrums sometimes that come from nothing. It could come from looking for an ATM machine.
How bad are the tantrums that you're afraid of your life?
Very bad. Very bad. One incident was that we were all at the shopping center. We were looking for an ATM. I said, let's stop looking. Let's ask someone. A guy gave us directions. My daughters and I happened to be walking a couple of paces in front of him. He disappeared. We turned around. He was gone. And he did a detour. Never said anything. And we waited for about 7 minutes. And I saw him on the ground level going towards the ATM. When I caught up with him, I asked, where did you go? Why didn't you say anything? And he threw a tantrum. He was calling me a bee, telling me to shut up, flailing
his arms. Okay, Jackie, if everything you're saying is accurate, then your husband is out of control in some fairly to very serious ways. Yeah. And anytime you've got a situation like that, there has to be what's called containment. That there's really no reasoning or kind of like, you know, talking to on a rational level if that's what's going on, if you've approached him and all that. So probably what you're going to have to do is to get a third party intervention in there and insist that he go get some help if he's got, as you said earlier, identity problems, finding himself problems. But to me, there's something else going on for him to have either financial deception or rage attacks or whatever. So you got to get somebody involved. So insist on that. Get on the phone and it's got to happen. He has to go. You can't do anything about that by yourself at this point.
You know, John, sometimes people call us, and I want to say, you know, we're just a simple little radio show, because some of these situations are so complicated that you really do have to get other people involved and not wait and do it now.
Well, Steve, you know, I think we all have a tendency to think there's some magic key that I can say that will bring light and love and reason, and the person will go, oh, I get it, and they straighten up. And the Bible says, as much as possible, be at peace with everybody. So we're supposed to start with, you know, openness and vulnerability and entreaties. But when things get out of hand, you have to go outside of the conversation and into actions.
When I was in Allentown, we did a little seminar on Saturday, and a man said that he was in recovery, but now his wife needed help, and she wasn't getting it. Wanted to know what are the, you know, the magic words that would get her to finally get the help that she needs. And I said, you know, wish I had... I knew those, and all of us are wanting those. Like you say, we want to be able to believe that we can say something or think it through or talk it through. Sometimes we just have to get outside help.
Yep. It's the whole concept of the body that an eye can't, and an eye and a hand can't do the same thing. So humble yourself and say, I'm not an expert in these matters.
Right. If you need some help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll try to find a Christian resource in your area that can be of big help to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Okay, we'll take a break and come back with more of New Life Live with Dr. John Townsend, Stephen Arterburn, and your phone calls.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. A few things I want to mention. April the 7th in Atlanta is the next Everyman's Battle, and you could just go ahead and call us. Most of the people, well, the wife calls first. Don't let that be the case. Just call and say, okay, I'm ready to get it taken care of. And that would be a great, great thing. And then our Life Recovery Workshop is on the 20th of May in Leesburg, Virginia. And Hope for a Woman's Heart. Well, that's what happens at Restore, and that's going to be April the 21st. Intimacy and Marriage, July the 21st, and Take Your Life Back. That's September the 8th. This ministry flourishes and thrives, and our heart beats to the tune of people going to these intensives, and everything changes in a very short length of time. We think it's the most dramatic change that... that anybody can experience. and we love getting to be a part of it.
Let's go to Teresa from Riverside, California. KSGN, how you doing?
Hi, I just want to tell you guys I really love your ministry, and I've been listening. Actually, a pretty new listener, but I just enjoy listening to you guys and the advice that you give. Thank you so much for being there for us.
Well, we love new listeners that are pretty, and so we are glad that you listen to us, Teresa.
Well, good. I'm glad. Yeah, I've been married for about 18 years. We have three children, 5, 12, and 15, and I'm recently separated about 3 or 4 weeks now. My husband has a problem with drugs. He also has an anger problem. He's very abusive verbally, emotionally, and occasional physical. And we both decided to go to counseling. I've actually found a great Christian counselor through your phone line. He has a counselor that he's been trying to see, but he's already quit on his counselor and decided he doesn't want to go anymore. So I'm struggling now with, you know, whether or not I want to continue with this marriage, or, you know, I'm not really seeing a lot of change in him as far as, you know, trying to go to the counseling, trying to talk to his counselor.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I just want to find out, you know, how long should I be waiting here to see, you know, what he's going to do or if he's going to make any changes?
It depends on the structure, Teresa. When you say we've separated, tell me how this separation happened. Was it, I can't take it anymore separation, or was it, no, here's the terms of it, here's how long it's going to be, here's what's going to change, what's the structure?
Actually, I had asked him to leave three separate times. The first two times, he refused to go. Finally, the third time, this was over about a period of 3 or 4 weeks. Finally, the third time, I told him, you know, no, we cannot live like this anymore. We're not being good for ourselves, for our children. You know, we need to separate, and we need to go to counseling. We didn't really set any time frames or time limits, like, you know, a month, 2 months, or
well,
whatever.
Well, see, that's where I would address it, is I would tell him, you know, we separated because I just couldn't. I just thought it was too bad for you and me and the kids. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of a move of I had to do some kind of crisis work with you to get that stable. But you're not following up. But I have not, Jim, set down any structures or agreed with you anything that have to happen before you're able to come back. And so now with my counselor and yours, if you choose one, here's going to be the criteria. And I would list them with him and say, you know, you got to be totally off of drugs, totally off of drinking. You know, there's got to be real changes in the anger. You have to go to counseling because these things can't exist without counseling, and whatever things have to happen. And then here's the changes we have to see in you over a period of time so that we know that you're safe to come in with me and the kids. And if you don't do that, that time gets extended. And so then there's no surprises with Jim. He knows mm-hmm. what the path is. Right now, he quits counseling, and he thinks, you know, as many alcoholics do, well, tomorrow's another day. And it doesn't. There's no real payment for that, except maybe an angry wife. And so there needs to be a lot of structure put into this, and then it has meaning.
In the meantime, then you can be going to see other people mm-hmm. in the same situation, get encouragement and direction from them, so that you really feel confident and supported in what you do when he fires back and tells you all the reasons that, you know, what you're saying doesn't make sense or he's not willing to do it.
Right, because he tells me things like, you know, he feels he's making changes and so I should allow him back into the house now, although I'm not actually seeing, you know, the physical changes in him yet.
Right. And you don't dismiss that either. So, well, you know, I'm glad you're making changes. We haven't agreed on what's enough changes. You know, if a kid came up to you, one of your kids, and they were making all Fs, and they're a really bright student, and they said, look, I'm making changes, I've got Ds, can I have the car? You'd say, you know, those are changes, but you're really bright. They're not enough changes to have the car.
Exactly.
So
right.
You don't dismiss it, but you say, you know, we have never set the standard, and here's some standards you're capable of and one want you to work for. We're going to send you a copy of Boundaries Face-to-Face, which has specific conversations that you can have with someone who says those things so that you can stay focused and to the point.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And, you know, you can just tell him that you talked to some guys, men. Mm-hmm. I think we're men. And you can tell that, you know, we were saying that a person in your situation, it's really important that you watch what a guy like him does versus hear and listen to him saying, hey, I'm doing better and all that. That you really do need to see the evidence of the changes and that you're grateful he's making them, but it's just a little too soon.
Yeah, that's exactly what my counselor's telling me. So I'm glad you guys are there to kind of back me up and to
just put specific structures. Yeah, add some structures and criteria to where mm-hmm. you're going.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right, now you just be holding on there, and I'm going to send you Every Man's Challenge to give to him, and it's got 40 different areas of his life that it'll help him work on, little exams that you can take as a man. And it's a challenge in 40 different areas. I think you'll really enjoy this. It's the latest in the Everyman series.
I didn't even know I had 40 areas to my life.
You do, John.
Oh, this is depressing. It's a lot of work
still. Well, we had to make up a few, though. All right, we'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
We appreciate your faithful support of this program. To give a tax-deductible gift of support or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be right back with New Life Live after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the Everyman's Battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
Steve Arterman here with Dr. John Townsend. Let's go to Brad. He's calling from Chicago, listens to WYLL. Hey, Brad, how are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, my wife has been having extreme PMS symptoms. She's 44 years old. And the doctor subscribed Seraphim to her. She takes it 2 weeks a month, 2 weeks before a period. And when she got back from the doctor, I said, are you supposed to just take this for a while or the rest of your life? And they said, she said, I really don't know. And I didn't know. Is that something that if she takes it for years that it's okay? Or should that be a short-term drug?
I don't know.
I'm not sure about that one, but my leaning, I could be wrong about this, is that it should just solve a temporary problem. But that's something I would call him about or her about.
Okay. But she seems to be helping, but it's also diminished her sexual desire. She doesn't seem to have much of that anymore since she started taking it. I didn't know if that's something that would come back. She's only been taking it for 3 months, or if that's kind of normal with those types of drugs.
Some of them have it and some of them don't have it. Who was the doctor? Was the doctor a GP or her OBGYN?
That's her gynecologist.
Well, if you're finding that problem, sometimes, if the OBGYN has done a lot of work with these issues, especially with postpartum, they can switch drugs, and they're very specific these days. The research is very good on them. And then if it's still not helped, sometimes it's good to go to a psychiatrist who that's kind of all they do. So I would pursue it with the OBGYN first.
Okay.
Most importantly is that what you're talking to us about, you're talking to her about. That you're saying, you know, I notice that your sex drive's kind of low, and you know, why don't we talk to your doc about that? There might be, you know, it might be something totally unrelated. Because
yeah, she's kind of funny about it. I've asked her to talk to the doctor about it before, and she's like, I'm embarrassed. You know, I don't want to ask him about that, you know. And I can't, you know, I feel like if I call him and talk to him about it, she'll probably be mad at me. So,
What if you say we'll go together?
I would. She probably wouldn't want to do that either, but, I mean, she's kind of embarrassed to talk to the doctor about it, I think.
Well, does she have a male or a female gynecologist?
Male.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe it's important enough that she should maybe get a female that she could talk with.
Yeah. Well, I could talk to her about that, I guess.
Yeah. Just say, let's talk with him, or if it's embarrassing, why don't we look into a different one you can talk to.
Okay. All righty. Well, I appreciate it.
Okay.
This is the first time I've ever tried to call. I can't believe I got through the first day. I didn't figure I'd get through. So.
Well, we're glad you did.
I guess I was pretty lucky. So. Now, all right, well, thank you.
You be sure and pray for her and pray with her and let her know you're her biggest fan and encouraging her and give her that little extra, you know, motivation there to stay the course, because I know it's really, really tough going through those years of your life.
My biggest concern is her health. You know, is if it's going to be bad for her health to take that drug for years and years and years, you know.
Hey, you know what?
That's my first concern.
I wouldn't think it would be a negative thing, John, if he called the doctor and asked the doctor himself that question right there.
Yeah, I don't see a problem there. Yeah. That's just kind of what being a spouse is.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for your call, Brad. Let me send you Every Man's Challenge from the Every Man series, and I hope you'll like that.
Think about this. Is this a place that you want to invest your giving support of a ministry? We could sure use it. $35 a month, you can join Club New Life. It's the foundation of all that we do. And you get discounts on workshops and the products that you get at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. A gift of any amount, and we'll send you Dave Stoops' book, Forgiving What You Cannot Forget, our way of saying thank you for supporting the ministry. We need your help. You know, this is a time of year where everybody gave at the end of the year. It gets a little slow here. So please, if God is leading you, reach for that phone. It's probably in your hand anyway. And call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE for help or to help us.
Okay, let's go to Barbara, calling from San Francisco, California. She listens to KFAX. Hey, Barbara.
Hey, guys. I can't believe I've gotten through the first day. You guys are really blessed through cleaning up your own lives. It's just been a blessing to all of us that are in the process of doing the same.
Thank you
for all your work.
Thank you.
And I mean that with all my heart. I'm really going through a lot of pain, and I'm really getting a little bit more clarity through this process. I've done a lot of counseling work for a solid 4 years from a very horrific childhood, along with a very hard marriage of 30 years. My husband left our marriage 3.5 years ago, and I have had to look at things that I was in denial about these past 4 years, and in coming clean in those areas, I've found that I've just had to really go forward. And John and Steve, I want to address something that you're going to be addressing about going forward, and how you put your foot on track when you realize what you've done and the sorrow and the repentance and the change that occurs through that process. It's scary, and I think that's what I'm up against, is the fear of the unknown. Because before, it's been so hard before. I just want to know it's going to be so good.
Well, can you be specific about what it is you are having to look at and take responsibility for that's frightening you?
Sure. It's the fact of becoming honest has been a real change for me, in that deceptions of little white lies, etc. And now that I can just talk freely and not be afraid or be ashamed of myself, that's a real open door I've walked through. And I haven't been believed by my family members.
Is there a specific topic that you are beginning to be honest about that's scaring you?
Just my own transparency, how I feel, what I think, who I am.
Are you saying that he was, because of who he was, you were kind of walking on eggshells and changing facts a little bit just to kind of protect yourself?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's just going to take some practice, you getting back in the habit of saying, easier to tell the truth than to distort it, and I have no reason to distort it anymore.
Right.
But give yourself a break. I mean, you went through years of training on how to do that, and right. Now you have to unlearn that a little bit.
Barbara, what's the nature of the fear? It's, you know, fear has an object, generally speaking. Like you say, I am afraid that blank will happen. Give us the blank part.
I'm afraid that the worst will happen again. Being abandoned,
that
being
you're,
left.
That who are these people that you're afraid will abandon you?
I've been working feverishly to reconnect with my husband, who really does think that I'm insane and has used the church to work alongside his own conceptions of me now that I've become really cleaned up.
And so you're continuing to try to reconnect with him?
I've been doing so with another church when I realized...
Well, Barbara, that kind of fear is a realistic fear. I mean, were we to tell you that being honest and transparent would not be a risk that a man who has already left you would mm-hmm. leave you again, wouldn't be being truthful with you.
Mm.
Okay?
Right.
So is your question, how do I handle this with him, or is your question, how do I handle being a transparent person in general? Because they're two way different worlds.
Yes, and I'm dealing with both of them because I've had to do a career change.
Well, which one can we help you with?
I hate to be a complex answer, but both of them is what I'm dealing with because I'm both involved.
Okay,
let me
give you the first one, which
all
is
right.
With him. Jesus said to be innocent as doves and wise as serpents, and so you are as vulnerable with him as you can be, and so that you still take into consideration whatever his reasons were for leaving you, and so that you can feel hurt by him. I mean, it's okay to be hurt because life is a lot of love is about hurt, but not injured by him. And so you are open with him to the extent that you won't be injured. Now, with other people, since you have, as Steve pointed out, since you have a lifetime based on a bad childhood of having to walk on eggshells, you're not going to do this well. So you need to get around people besides your family or people who are safe, including those in your family who are safe, and say, I don't do this well. I kind of evade things, and I don't look at things, and I'm afraid. And get around like a good support group or a good growth group or whatever and say, I am not really truthful because I'm afraid. Can you help me to learn to be honest? And let them to usher you into the world of truth in a very safe, non-condemning, encouraging way. You must do this outside of the context of real life until it's become internalized as a part of you.
Yeah, I've been doing that working with an organization called Crown Financial that has to do with my finances.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the music's coming. So I'll wait.
Well,
I just don't want to push you guys away from okay. what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to you after the break. You know, Barbara, as one of the poster children for abandonment, one of the tough things is when we have to look at how did we actually contribute to the thing that we feared the most.
Mm.
Then we got a shot at not creating it again or lending to its likelihood. We'll talk about that when we come back after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
Hi, my name is Shelley Martinkus, and I am so excited to share with you the new workshop, and it's called Restore. Restore is a workshop specifically designed for women that are dealing with betrayal in their marriage. The workshop is going to complement the men's experience at Every Man's Battle. When you leave this workshop, you'll have practical tools that you can take with you in order to move forward in your recovery, and you will also have a deeper understanding of yourself and what you need.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Denver April 21st through the 23rd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go online to newlife.com.
Ladies, I want you to know there is hope for you and there is hope for your marriage. I hope you'll join me.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I would just kind of be paralyzed sometimes. I would just stay home. I would kind of sit in a chair and just kind of write or maybe talk to my wife a little bit, but I just wasn't living a fulfilled life. I'm a recovering addict, and so I'm always looking for a quick fix. What Christian counseling has done for me is made me realize it's the journey that's the important thing.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
You don't want to shortchange yourself. Counselors are so good at helping you to see patterns in your life that you've never seen before.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're talking to Barbara. Barbara is trying to work on the relationship and some big fears about abandonment. And Barbara, you wanted to be sure we were cued in on what you were trying to say.
Thanks.
Which, Barbara, by the way, just on an observing level... Mm-hmm. I don't think that's ever happened on the radio. That I've had someone who was so, as Steve said, cued in to our circumstances that you kind of took care of us so that we could have a better call, which is really a hallmark of a person who has spent a long time reading other people's needs and kind of not being aware of their own.
Well, that summarizes the question.
So you're pretty good. You're pretty good at what you do.
Thank you, guys.
And if Steve and I are uncomfortable again, we know that you'll find out before we know.
Yeah.
And let us know if we're uncomfortable. Right.
Okay, I will.
pretty much the entire show rests on how this is going to go, don't you think, John?
Anyway, so
great,
go ahead.
Great.
Go ahead and finish.
Okay. How I have been so good at helping other people, and that's why I'm in the food business and have always loved to feed people, blah, blah, blah. And I've really found that I've wanted to be more specialized in helping with people emotionally. So I'm really good at advocating for the people, but I don't know how to advocate for myself.
Okay, so what's the question?
So how do I advocate for myself when I'm jumping off a cliff of freedom of Christ and forgiveness? That I've really come to see is the way, but it's scary.
Yeah, well, you know, we're having a hard time hearing your question, but let's just address the issue of, in general, of how a person who is kind of looking at realigning with someone who's left them before, how do you protect yourself and be, you know, smart?
Yeah, and especially that issue of how do I be an advocate for myself? I don't think that's a particularly helpful concept, Barbara. Because an advocate is somebody on the outside of you that stands up for you. And so, like in the scriptures, our advocate was Jesus. He was the one that stood up and took the wrath of the Father and argued the case and all that. And so I think a more helpful concept would be, how do I become a good steward of the life that God's given me, like the people that buried their talents and people invested their talents in Matthew 25. And how do I do that? There's a couple of cues or clues. One would be is that you understand the value and the importance of doing that, that a life lived for other people without taking stewardship of your own life and self and heart and all that is going to be a life that's going to be hampered, and you're not going to accomplish whatever God wanted you to accomplish. So look at it as a responsibility. And the second thing is to get a sense of your no muscle inside. All of us have kind of a gut inside, and the codependents all the time ignore that. And so when they're getting a situation where people want something from them, they don't pay attention to the fact that it's going, ooh, this is, I don't like this. And you have to begin to develop that sense of, that's not me. That's not who I am. I don't do those things. That's not on my schedule, and I don't like to be around this kind of person. And when the no begins to get developed, all of a sudden you take better care of life and yourself and your responsibilities. We'll send you a copy of God Will Make a Way, which has a lot of material about that.
Yeah. All right, God bless you there. And anybody else wanting God Will Make a Way, it's a great book of hope and direction. If that's what you're looking for, you call us. All right, let's go to Wendy. She's calling from Rancho Cucamonga, one of my favorite towns to pronounce on the air. She listens to KSGN. Hey, Wendy, how is it out there in Rancho Cucamonga?
It's kind of cloudy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I appreciate your radio station. I just discovered you a few weeks ago, and I think it was kind of the Lord's way to get me to get some Christian advice regarding a pretty bizarre situation I have. I jumped into a relationship right after a divorce of 11 years, and I have two kids, and we pretty much were kind of, you know, just living in sin, just, you know, fulfilling our own selfish pleasures and everything. And then he got arrested, and he got put in jail, and the situation has kind of brought me to the Lord and to understanding, you know, the road that we were taking was leading in a totally wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, to make a long story short, I married this guy, and he's almost finished with his time. And
did you marry him while he was in prison?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. And he's actually kind of helped me find my way to the Lord. And it's really kind of strange that he has helped me grow in my faith, and this whole situation has brought me closer to God, where his situation has kind of made him really cold and really bitter and really angry and really hateful. And I guess at this point, I'm just realizing that what I did was, you know, like, gosh, you know, I'm kind of regretting my decision.
Your decision to marry him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that I'm saved, I'm kind of looking at, you know, a divorce as just being a cop-out, kind of like an easy way out. But I just want to do what's right, and I don't know if that would be continuing with the marriage once he gets out and trying to do it the right way now.
How long have you got before he gets out?
Probably about another month.
Okay, so you need to make some decisions.
Yeah, basically. I guess reality's kind of sinking in and hitting me right now.
Well, Wendy, I think that probably the best course of action or attitude to take would be that you've made a covenant with this man, and it's something that's, you know, very, very, very important, very deep, and for you and for God. And I think what I would tell him is, there are some changes that I would like for you to make, and I'll make too, and I want this marriage to work out, but you're a different person now, and that's not good for me, because there's things, aspect of you that are really hard for me. So I would like to go get some help, and I would like to know here the specific things. And the good news about that, Wendy, is that people do change in marriages, mm-hmm. and love does flourish when people make those changes. So I would make my number one vision, let's change.
I don't know if prisons have counselors that help them transition.
Yes, they do. They have prison psychologists.
So I would be saying, is there any way we could meet with him, mm-hmm. or could we? Could I email with him and develop a plan for us for the mm-hmm. last month and getting out, and just see how much good you can make out of a very tough situation?
Right.
And you know what's great is that you're asking the question rather than just going out and doing what might be the easy
right.
thing.
We'll send boundaries in marriage.
Yeah, good idea. All right, Wendy, glad that you called us. If you need some help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There are Christian counselors all over. And we have people, if you're a Christian counselor and you want to join our network, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and become one of the affiliates there if you're a real live Christian counselor and you're good. We want to be part of you, what you're doing. And then if you support the ministry, we're going to send you Every Man's Challenge, the new book by Fred Stoker, me, and Mike Yorkey in the Every Man series. And our resource, 7 Keys to a Healthy Blended Family by Jim Smoke, and the free tips, 10 Keys to a Healthy Step Family. John, close us out here.
Proverbs 19:17, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he's done. Even though we're all struggling, one of the ways that we receive God's benefits is to remember those who have less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you're always going to be tempted to look at somebody who's got more and feel bad, but look at those who have less and then reach out, try to help them. Hey, we love you. See you here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the Archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.